Will you pray with me, please? God, we feel your spirit in this place. We feel you around us, holding us, lifting us up. God, we ask for your guidance. I ask for your guidance in my words and in all of our hearts. Amen. So, we have a lot of heavy theology in the two texts that we heard this morning. And I'm not going to give you a deep, heavy theology lesson, don't worry. I saw some of you already starting to nod off a little bit, so. What do we get from the Romans text? It's a little bit confusing. Paul tells us, not only do we rejoice in the hope of glory, but we also rejoice and boast in our suffering. What does that mean, to boast in our suffering? Anyone? Anyone ever have that experience of boasting in your suffering? Oh, it was so awful. Let me tell you how awful it was, whatever it is. It kind of feels good, right? To complain a little bit. You know, you sit in traffic for an hour, and then it feels better to have sat in traffic for an hour if you can complain about how terrible traffic was. Right? Well, that's not exactly what Paul was talking about. According to Paul, suffering produces endurance. And endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope. So our suffering leads us to a place of hope. And what does that mean? That our suffering leads us to a place of hope. I know I've mentioned before that Christians in our cultural context often have this idea that we are meant to suffer and create a false narrative of suffering. I would say that especially for a mainline Christian, being Christian is pretty much the easiest thing you can be here in this country. It's not particularly hard. We, the larger Christian community, create this false suffering narrative largely because of this. Therefore, when our dear friend, you know that dear friend of ours that comes and visits us? You know who I'm talking about. He likes to stand outside. I call him our welcome committee. He usually has a big sign, usually critiques things like yoga pants, a few other things. So our little buddy outside who likes to make some noise and try to scare us, try to keep people from coming through our doors. He was at Pulse, at the Pulse vigil. Can I just tell you, that is a bad idea. Don't show up and piss off some already angry queens. Pardon my language, but that's what happened. And he was surrounded, and for his own safety, he was taken away. But you know our good friend, his name's Daniel. Daniel likes to come in, pretend he's in the lion's den, and snuck back in to the crowd. He's hoping to get injured. And then he pushes a cop, he gets arrested. He then takes to social media as he does. And what is the message on social media? Not, hey, this one loud, obnoxious person came and disrupted a vigil that was absolutely beautiful, honoring people whose lives were lost. Of course he didn't say that. He launched a GoFundMe for his bail money. And the reason was that he was persecuted for being a Christian. This is how it works, right? Because Christians are persecuted. What do we do with this narrative that it comes down to Christians are persecuted? By the way, the GoFundMe raised $0. And another GoFundMe was created in honor of him for that all that money went to the One Pulse Foundation and within minutes raised over $2,000. So here we are at this place. We know what happens if you mess with the angry queens. And we know that persecution is real, and when we make light of it, we take away the reality of persecution. So we have this concept that we get in the Gospel of Matthew to shake the dust off our feet. Why do we shake it off? We could have had a Taylor Swift song today, it just occurred to me. Shake it off. Oh, Mealy can make it happen. My girl. So we shake it off. And that's not easy to do. Which brings me to a couple complicated things today. One is Father's Day. Now, obviously, I love Father's Day. I got presents this morning. It was nice. But Father's Day is complicated, right? It's complicated because a lot of us don't have good relationships with our fathers. My dad's here, so I won't say anything bad about him today. But a lot of us do have very complicated relationships with our fathers. A lot of us find that Father's Day brings up painful emotions. Some of us in this congregation have children who don't speak to us. I feel so lucky to not be in that category, but I know that I have walked and held the hands of and prayed with and cried with those whose family members have rejected them. And when we think about Father's Day, we think about this text and the idea of just shaking off the dust from our feet. We realize that that dust is more like mud, right? It doesn't just shake off so easily. And it's not just Father's Day. What is the meaning of suffering for what you believe in, for what you care about? What is the meaning of struggling to share the message of love and grace and finding that you get rejected and when you try to shake it off, it just sticks to you? On Wednesday night, I went to the U2 concert, which was an amazing experience. And I was standing there in this huge crowd of I don't know, 80,000 people or something. And right in front of me were two young men. And I noticed in their body language this, like, kind of subtle touching each other on the shoulder. You know how you do. And then I noticed at one point that they both had matching rings. But they would steal these little bits of affection instead of openly holding hands. I mean, you know, it's a concert. People are dancing. There's straight couples intertwined with each other dancing. And then there's these two young men who clearly love each other, kind of glance at each other in a loving way. And they're not doing what I could tell they wanted to do, putting their arms around each other, enjoying the music. You know how at a big concert, you can feel the music in your body. They're doing that, and they're just leaving that room for the Holy Spirit in between. The furthest apart they stood, I noticed, was when Bono, the lead singer of U2, started talking about Pulse and honoring the victims of Pulse. These two men stepped apart from each other. And while we were surrounded in this place of people who were honoring the grief, anniversary having been just a couple days before, I could see that these two young guys felt scared. And then Bono starts talking about politics. Anyone who knows the band U2 knows that there's a lot of politics, a lot of progressive politics in their music and in their message. And yet they're a band that has appealed to lots of people of lots of different demographics. And there is a guy behind us who every time Bono said anything about politics, yelled, "Shut up, we won." And these two guys get it a little further. And then at one point, Bono is talking about HIV meds and says, everyone in America who pays taxes is an AIDS activist because so many impoverished people get their AIDS meds because of our tax money. And he thanked everyone for being an AIDS activist, and this loud dude behind me yells, let him die. And I can see the body language of these two young guys changing to the point that they weren't on a date anymore. They were just two guys. And it hurt. It hurt to watch it. I wanted to tell them, don't be scared. Don't be scared because one person's making a lot of noise. Jesus tells the apostles as he sends them out that they are sheep among wolves. That's what it felt like in that moment, being surrounded by so many people, feeling a little unsafe. The text, the Matthew text, goes on to, after the part that we heard, Jesus says this thing about the suffering in Sodom, that those who reject the apostles will suffer more than those in Sodom. And even though what he is talking about is rejection, and we can look and see in this text that Jesus' understanding of Sodom had nothing to do with homosexuality and had everything to do with hospitality, we know that people read Jesus' word and feel scared. Haven't we all been those two young guys at some point, wanting to hold the hand of our beloved and being too scared to do so? And Jesus tells us again and again to listen to the message of love, to love our neighbors, to share God's love with others. He tells his beloveds to seek out the lost sheep. At this point in the text, he says, seek out only the lost sheep of Israel. Towards the end of the Gospel of Matthew, that call is opened up to everyone, because that message becomes for everyone, that God loves us. Yes, there is suffering. Yes, we suffer. But we don't suffer because we love. We suffer because we feel hated. And yeah, we have that narrative. It's really hard to be a Christian, especially if being a Christian means waving a sign and telling people they're going to burn in hell. That's hard work. But it's even harder to be a Christian who loves people. Not because we're persecuted for being a Christian, but because loving people is rough. Am I right? It is hard to love people. The apostles were assured that they will find themselves in trouble. They will find persecution, but they will be saved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to them and through them. Jesus promises them that they will endure, that the Holy Spirit will carry them. And here's the problem with Jesus, right? Let's get real about Jesus, because he makes it look easy. Right? I love you. I love everyone. Here, I'm going to heal you. I'm just going to spit and rub your eyes and here you're healed. Right? He makes it easy. Makes it look easy. But for the disciples, for the apostles, it won't be easy. And for us, it won't be easy. So thinking again about that crowd, and I'm... I can just imagine people later saying, that's the sermon where Jesus became Bono. No, but bear with me for a second. Jesus is up on the stage. No, Bono is up on the stage talking. And it's easy for him because he's rich and people paid a heck of a lot of money to go to this concert. And there's thousands of people who are there just screaming because they love what he does, right? And then there are these two young guys hearing what he says, hearing a message of inclusion, a message about loving your neighbor, but they're surrounded by the neighbors. And it's scary. Bono up there is an ally. But what good is an ally to these two young guys who are too scared to hold hands? They live in fear, unable to hold the hand of the person they love. And why? Because of the message of our culture. Because just a few days before, the news was showing all this stuff from Pulse from last year. They had just been reminded that people kill us for who we are. Now let's think about Christ again. And the mission that Christ gives all of us to share God's love. And there are places in the world where people die for sharing God's love. You might not be persecuted here in the same way. But we all know all too well that love can get us killed. This week was not only the anniversary of the Pulse shooting. It was the 2-year anniversary of the shooting at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where 9 people were killed in church. Not just because they were Christian, because they were Black. People kill us for who we are. And when I say us, I mean all of us. Not just the us that looks like me, the us that looks like you. The people in this community, when we are hurt, they're hurting all of us. And that man, that terrorist, often not called a terrorist just because he's white, that terrorist came in and killed these people. Christian terrorist with white skin. So we know that there is risk and there is danger. And we know that as we continue to bravely hold the hand of the person we love in public, show up and be ourselves, come to church, take the risks that our culture calls us to take, we know that at times we will fail, and we know that we will get rejected. And sometimes some people will continue being our welcome committee. We can't change them. We don't want to hurt them. We're just going to let them be. Just shake that dust from your feet. It's not the same as giving up. It's moving on and knowing that God calls us to a higher form of love. Amen. Amen.